بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدًا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask him Jalla wa'az to shower his choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. O slaves of Allah, O children of Adam, first and foremost I advise myself and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be conscious of Him during every single second of our lives if we wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa and may He subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. And secondly, I would like to remind myself and then all of you all to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the numerous bounties and favors He has conferred upon us. If we were to try and enumerate these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would fail miserably, as He rightfully states in the noble Quran, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to try and list the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would fail. In other words, if we were to try and encompass all of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would fail miserably. The blessings of Allah azza wa jal are so numerous in number. And from these blessings is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created all of time equal. He has not created all of time equal. In the sense, if we were to talk about months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has blessed us with the month of Ramadan being the best of months. In terms of days in general, the days that we just crossed by, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, they are the best of days in general. And then when we talk about a specific day, it is Yawmul Jum'ah. The best of days in when we talk about it in a specific sense is Yawmul Jum'ah. According to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, خَيْرُ يَوْمٍ طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسُ يَوْمُ الْجُمْعَةِ فِيهِ خُلِقَ آدَمْ وَفِيهِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَفِيهِ أُخْرِجَ مِنْهَا كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ. The best of days upon which the sun has risen is Friday. For it was on a Friday that our father, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, was created. It was on a Friday that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was admitted entry into Jannah. And it was on a Friday that he was taken out of Jannah. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it will be on a Friday that the day of Qiyamah will also take place. A very powerful day and a blessed day. It is known as an Eid for us Muslims, according to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is such a beautiful day, and it is that day that you and I, we are seated in. So inshallah ta'ala, in the few minutes that I have with you all, because after all time is of the essence, I would like to share a Friday action item list with you all. An action item list. So these are items that we can try to do on this Friday as well as the Fridays to come. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all and open the doors of understanding for all of us. Ameen. So we start off with the Salatul Fajr on Friday, with the call for Salatul Fajr, the Adhan for Salatul Fajr. According to a particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, if only individuals knew of the reward for An-Nida as well as Safal Awwal, they would start competing with one another. What is An-Nida? An-Nida is the call, the Adhan. If they only knew the reward that is in store for them for Adhan and Saful Awwal, the first row in Salah, they would compete with one another. You see, amidst the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, there was always this healthy competition. Not a competition to gain materialistic assets like how we strive today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. It's not about, you know, I'm driving a 5 Series and you're driving a Mercedes. It's not that kind of a competition. But instead the Sahaba, they were competing with one another in terms of good deeds. In terms of good deeds. They always had this competition. I'm sure you must have come across stories between the two great Sahaba, radiyallahu anhumah, Umar and Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhumah. The two greatest of companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They always had this healthy competition where they used to compete with one another in terms of doing good deeds. This was the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So according to that particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that about the adhan. In another narration, there was a Sahabi by the name Abu Sa'sa'a radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed this particular Sahabi because he was a shepherd who used to take his animals and go far out into the desert to allow his animals to graze. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed and taught this Sahabi, whenever the time for salah comes about, call out the adhan and then pray. He is all alone in the midst of a barren desert. So you might wonder, what's the point of calling out the adhan? What's the point of calling out the adhan? After all, what's the purpose behind the adhan? It is to notify people, to inform people that the time of salah has come about. So it's just him, all alone in the middle of the desert. So what's the purpose behind him having to call out the adhan? So scholars who write the shuruhat, the commentary in regard to that particular hadith, they state that one of the reasons behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructing this particular sahabi as such is because everything around you, in terms of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will bear witness to that great testimony of faith of yours on the day of Qiyamah. Just imagine, in the middle of the desert, you're crying out, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. In the middle of the desert, you're crying out that Allah is the greatest. And then you're crying out, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Every cactus, every animal, every atom, every molecule will bear witness to that. One particular narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the individual who calls out the adhan, for as far as his voice, as far as the sound of his azan travels, the adhan, his sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, the mu'adhinun, we should envy them. Today at times, you know, we tend to look down upon them. But on the day of Qiyamah, they will be the ones with the longest of necks. In the sense, they're not going to come like giraffes. Don't think of the hadith as such. But instead, they will be individuals who will be honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And scholars of hadith, they mention that they will be individuals who will never feel thirst on that day. They will be individuals who will be able to hold their heads high up on that day. This is the interpretation of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many rewards written for the mu'adhinun. So the day, Friday, starts off with the call for Salatul Fajr. And we're supposed to rush, because this mu'adhin, he is uttering a declaration of faith. He's saying, Hayya ala salah, come to salah. Hayya ala al-falah, come to success. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. Who better an individual than the individual calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or what better speech can you find than the one who is calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it is upon us to listen to the caller and make our way to the masjid. And then when you come for Salatul Fajr, it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the individual who is conducting Salatul Fajr, i.e. the imam, he should try to lengthen Salatul Fajr by perhaps reading Surah Sajda and Surah Dahr. This is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we move on. We have Salatul Jum'ah. Because you look at the ayah in Surah Al-Jum'ah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, idha nudiya lissalati min yawmil jum'ati, fas'au ila dhikrillahi wa dharul bay'a.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, idha nudiya lissalati min yawmil jum'ah, when you are called for salah on Friday, فَسَعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, then rush, rush to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَرُ الْبَيْعِ. And leave business, leave your transactions, leave whatever is keeping you busy in terms of dunya and head to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is in specific talking about Salatul Jum'ah, but it's generally applicable for all five salawat on Friday. In general, you're supposed to make it to the masjid throughout the week, but Friday has its special qualities and virtues attached to it. So we should try and, you know, make time to make it to the masjid, starting off with Salatul Fajr and then heading to the masjid early for Salatul Jum'ah after taking a bath. In terms of taking a bath on Fridays, the scholars have differed in this regard. There are scholars who state that it is obligatory, it is mandatory to take a bath before you head for Salatul Jum'ah. And then there are others who state that it is an emphasized sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because there is one particular narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who is reported to have said that taking a bath wajibun ala kulli muhtalim, that it is obligatory upon every single adult who has come of age, males who have come of age, to take a bath. It is obligatory. So based on this particular report, there are scholars who deem it as obligatory and there are scholars who deem it as an emphasized sunnah, in the sense as if you have an excuse, say perhaps you're not feeling well or something of that sort, then you are excused. But in general, you need to take a bath and head to the masjid. And as Muslims, as followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're supposed to make it for Salatul Jum'ah early. Because look at this particular hadith, a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is reported to have said that the individual who takes a bath, the narration goes along the lines of these words, the individual who takes a bath and then heads to the masjid early, he heads to the masjid early, and if possible, he walks. He walks for every step of his, he gets the reward equivalent of fasting one whole year and standing up in worship for one whole year. Just imagine how generous our Maker is. Allahu Akbar. But we sadly, we tend to remain oblivious of all these amazing rewards. So even if we have a vehicle and perhaps we're living far away from the masjid, we can park a bit away and then walk to the masjid for every step, one whole year. Reward of fasting for one whole year and qiyam, standing up in worship for one whole year. Allahu Akbar. Just amazing. And then there's another narration of the Prophet ﷺ, who is reported to have said that the time, in the sense before Salatul Jum'ah, is divided into five portions. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that particular hadith, he highlights for each portion the reward. The individual who makes it during the first portion, I'll explain the hadith. The individual who makes it during the first portion, he gets, fi sa'atil ula, he gets the reward equivalent of sacrificing a camel. The individual who makes it in the second portion, during the second hour, he gets the reward equivalent of giving out a cow, a baqarah. The individual who makes it during the third portion, he gets the reward equivalent of giving out a sheep or a goat. The individual who makes it during the fourth portion, he gets the reward equivalent of giving out a chicken. And the individual who makes it during the fifth portion, oh, how unfortunate is that individual? He gets the reward equivalent of giving out an egg. It's basically zero, an egg. And after that, what happens? The minute the khatib, the pulpit, the imam climbs on top of the pulpit, the angels who make note, who register the names of the individuals coming in for Salatul Jum'ah, they close their registers and they come in to listen to the khutbah. So how do you determine the timings? There's a difference of opinion amidst the scholars. I'll give you both opinions. Scholars like Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah and others deem that the time begins right after Salatul Fajr. Allahu Akbar. Very challenging. Right after Salatul Fajr. So basically after Salatul Fajr, until the time the Imam climbs on top of the pulpit, the duration, say if you've got five hours, say sunrise is at what? At 7 o'clock and until 12 o'clock, you have to divide that time into five portions and it starts off right after Fajr. So if you want to get the reward equivalent of giving out a camel, you need to make it right after Salatul Fajr. But then there's another opinion. And I feel that that opinion is more favorable and more easy to act upon. And that is the opinion of Imam Malik rahimahullah. He states that the time begins after Zawal, in the sense after the sun hits the zenith. So that's basically around 12 o'clock. So right after 12 o'clock, the time begins. This is the countdown. It's a race. It's a race, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Every single day you get up in the morning, it's a race. On your marks, get set, go. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. It is a race. We need to strive to do as many good deeds as possible. Because remember, the only size of regret of the dwellers of Jannah, because none of us, inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors of Jannah for all of us, In Jannah, we're not going to have any regret whatsoever. The only size of regret that the dwellers of Jannah will have is that, oh, I should have said one more Subhanallah. I should have said one more Alhamdulillah. I should have said one more Allahu Akbar. I should have said one more La ilaha illallah wahda la sharika lah, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. For every Subhanallah I would have said, a tree would have been planted in my orchards. Because remember, the land of Jannah is fertile but empty. You need to do the planting now and you will harvest later. The lands of Jannah are fertile, but you need to do the planting from here and then you will harvest in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. So Imam Malik rahimahullah, he states that the time begins right after Zawal, right after the sun hits the zenith, and then you divide it by five portions until the time. So basically from 12 to the time the Imam climbs on top of the pulpit. So it's easy for us to act upon it. So you divide it into five portions, you make it in the first portion, you get the reward equivalent to giving out a camel. Who can't do this? We must strive just to come a little bit early to the masjid. And we grab hold of all of these rewards. You're acting upon the opinion of Imam Malik rahimahullah. Well and good. And you get the reward equivalent to giving out a camel. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to act upon the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I have another few action items inshallah ta'ala. We'll discuss that in the second khutbah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ ذَنْبٍ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَوَّادٌ كَرِيمٌ مَلِكٌ بَرُّ رَوْفٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل صلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد, فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى واستمسكوا من الإسلام بالعروة الوثقى. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are and remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the next action item, dhikr. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're supposed to remember Allah azza wa jal as much as possible, especially during Fridays, because the rewards are multiplied by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Multiplied. And you know, Allah azza wa jal is so generous that just by saying La ilaha illallah wahdah, la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir, you stand a chance to acquire so many rewards. You get the rewards, for example, of emancipating 10 slaves, freeing 10 slaves. Even though slavery is not applicable now, you get the rewards equivalent to that. 100 good deeds are written in your account. 100 evil deeds are erased from your account. Allahu Akbar. So easy. Just to say, La ilaha illallah wahda, la sharika lah, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. 100 times. How long is it going to take? We're supposed to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we talk about dhikr, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just sitting down in a corner and repeating adhkar. That's not only the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sense, wherever we are, be it in public or in private, whether we are at home or in a foreign land, whether we are amidst friends or strangers, we always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is basically the definition of taqwa, to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can define taqwa as the fear of Allah or as the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as certain scholars put it, it's best to state that it's the marriage of the two, fear and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coupled together. Because fear is an attribute that is not present with an individual 24/7. Fear is an attribute that is not present within an individual 24/7. Say for example, I'm sure most of us, all of us here, we are petrified of lions or these creepy, slithery serpents. If a lion were to come rampaging inside the masjid, we would all run out of the masjid because that attribute of fear is present within us. But that does not mean that every single day when we wake up in the morning, we wake up and we look in the mirror, we say, oh, I'm petrified of lions. It does not keep on coming up. It only manifests when we see the object of fear. But that cannot be the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that, we say the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that can be present within an individual 24/7. And that is taqwa. We need to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7, wherever we are. We need to remember Him, be conscious of Him, adhere to what He has commanded us to do, and stay away from what He has prohibited us. This is the definition of taqwa. Once a sahabi asked another sahabi, radiyallahu anhu, to define taqwa. If I'm not mistaken, it was Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, who was asked. Ya Abu Huraira, define taqwa for me. He asks that individual, have you ever walked down a thorny path? This individual replied in the affirmative, yes, I have. So then he asked him, what did you do whilst you were walking down the thorny path? He said, I gathered my clothing together. I took extreme precaution not to snag my clothing on the thorns, and I made my way down the path. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, that is the definition of taqwa. So scholars explain, the thorns are the muharramat, the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The path is this short, transitory life that you and I are in. So short, so temporary, that we cannot even guarantee that we will make it out of the doze of this particular masjid. So short. No guarantee whatsoever. That's the path. And you're supposed to make your way down that path with extreme precaution, because the devil, he's waiting for the opportunity to snag you with those thorns, with the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the minute you spot a prohibition, stay away from it. What does Allah say in the noble Quran in terms of zina?
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا.
Allah says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't even think of getting close to zina. He, Azza wa Jal, did not say, don't commit zina. Instead, he says, don't even think of getting close to zina. So if you know that this particular event, this particular party, this particular function might lead to me falling into the pit of zina, you're supposed to stay away from it. Whatever leads to zina, if you feel that if I am on social media, you can't ask a scholar for a direct fatwa in terms of social media. It's a tool. It's like a knife. You can use it for good purposes and bad purposes. But you as an individual, if you fear that if I am on social media, I might be drawn towards sin, the devil might push me into the pit of zina, then it is haram upon you. Then it is better for you to stay away from that. If you fear that you're going to fall into the pit of sin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. So my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively. And from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Fridays is to read Suratul Kahf. According to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the individual who reads Suratul Kahf on Friday, there are many rewards. One of which is a light will start to emit from his feet and shoot up to the heavens. Allahu Akbar. That's one narration. In another narration, a light will shoot from where he is until Bayt al-Atiq, until the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically, you are in England, Parsons Green, you read Surah Al-Kahf, a light emits from where you are, illuminating the way until the Kaaba. Just imagine. Allahu Akbar. Another narration, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, these are not fairy tales. These are all a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah Al-Najm, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. What he speaks is divine revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He does not speak out of his own desires. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. What he speaks is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another narration, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, the individual who reads Surah Al-Kahf, from one Friday to another Friday, his sins are... It's like a light for him from one Friday to another Friday. Okay, maqala alayhi salatu wasalam. From one Friday to the next Friday, it illuminates him. It's a light that protects him. Allahu Akbar. Suratul Kahf. It's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to avail of these rewards, these amazing rewards, we can either read Suratul Kahf on Friday night, that's basically the eve of Thursday, and until Friday evening, that's until the Maghrib of Friday. You have time to read Suratul Kahf to avail of these amazing rewards. The next action item is in regard to Sa'atul Istijaba. There is a special hour, listen to me carefully. There is a special hour during Fridays in which if your dua coincides during that special hour, that dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. So now you might ask me, Shaykh, when is that hour? There are a few narrations and opinions from the scholars. One opinion is that it is the time from when the imam climbs on top of the pulpit until he gets down from the pulpit. This is one opinion. The second opinion is when the imam sits between the two sermons, that is the time, the few minutes there. The final opinion, and this is the most favorable of all the opinions, Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he states that it is the time, basically it is the last hour of Friday, in the sense, according to the lunar calendar, the day ends with Maghrib. So it is just 1 hour before Salatul Maghrib. It is almost 1 to 1.5 hours before Salatul Maghrib. But how many of us, we are all busy. Busy doing what? Running behind this dunya. Hankering behind our materialistic assets that we fail to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, we all have needs. We all have requirements. And we all have so much to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us seize this opportunity. Sa'atul Istijaba. If your dua coincides with that hour, Don't forget about it today. Just 1 to 1.5 hours before Salatul Maghrib, raise your hands and beseech unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cry unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your dua coincides with that special hour, that dua is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to attain that hour. Ameen. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, on Fridays, don't forget to send excessive blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states in the Noble Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And with that I end the sermon. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم على سيد الأولين والآخرين.